No. This is working session on the board on December 8th, 2020 at 4:07 p.m.
Items B and C, COVID response update and testing update.
Okay. I might just say just about school safety. It's just school resource officers. We have, and I think I said this last time, didn't I? Sergeant Jared Carson is a new SRO, sergeant over all the school resource officers. He was a previous SRO at Dixie, then at Mill Creek, then went back on the regular force. Anyway, he took Sergeant Albert Gilman's place, who retired. And so he's over all our SROs. Great guy, very experienced SRO, and has a lot of support and confidence from his fellow officers. And the other thing is just know that we continue to work closely with them, new Captain Curtis Sprague, and our relationship with SROs to just make sure that we're on top of things with school safety. So that's what I would just tell you there. Great partnership. We don't run into any concerns or problems. A mutual respect and appreciation for what we both do. Okay, the next one, COVID updates. I think we've talked enough about that. We continue to work through our plan. We continue to do all we can to ensure high levels of learning for every student. And walk that balance between holding people accountable for these high levels of learning and supporting them properly through COVID and all the things that we've had to go through. And I won't go into detail. But then I'll jump right down to the next one. And the thing that's been one of our big focuses was getting through the football playoffs, because we had two teams playing in the semis. And then we, of course, had one in the championship. We've already talked about that game. But the testing continues to be our challenge now that we've gone into winter sports and activities, because it isn't just the sports. Extracurriculars is probably better stated. But in doing that, we've got, you know, our first finishing now, our the rest of what would be the first round of the athletes, but spanning 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Got into the basketball last week and still going into some of the basketball this week, because the boys' games, some of them started sooner than the girls. The wrestling was put off. We haven't done that yet, but we've done swimming. Very, very few positive tests till today. We ran into quite a few at Dixie in the girls' basketball program. Enough so that they won't be playing for a while. There's not enough of them left. So when we tested several hundred athletes and just got a few, literally two or three last week, everything still looks good, but the Dixie High School girls basketball program, there was enough coaches and players that we can't compete right yet. We'll have to let that work through. But that was one thing. The problem...
Do the other kids on those teams quarantine once
no.
you find out the nope. one is positive?
Nope. As per our public health department recommendation, a negative test trumps that. Okay. And symptom watch. If they develop symptoms, they're still to stay home, like always. That's universal. If you're sick, stay home. Probably more important to stay at home if you've been around some of those. Even with a negative test, they watch for symptoms. But the negative test, again, and we discussed this even statewide, the quarantining, if they've got the negative test, isn't necessary to do. And so that's what we're going by. The other thing to keep in mind, Richard?
But I was going to say, they do contact trace mm-hmm. for those like within their classes and that. Yeah. Because they have not had the test. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that carries on. Yeah. And there's been some question about that. But the whole premise is the negative test
right.
trumps any of the quarantine guidelines or restrictions by those. All right. The other thing that we're running into is we're concerned about tests, number of tests that we have to be able to test kids. So we're still okay. We still have tests. We're working through. We've just ordered Brent through his department has ordered us a large number of tests that will help us with this that should come within the next several days. We also, through the state, through Sarah Young, have arranged to pick up a certain number of tests. Lyle, I believe we're going to get those by Friday. Tests from Sarah Young through LCDC.
We actually have enough to get through December. But we need another 3,400 tests for January, and they will distribute those in, on Friday. I'm not exactly sure how when we're going to get them, but they're going to allocate them on Friday.
So we're working as best we can to make sure we get all the tests that we need. But it's complicated. It's just so many tests you can get your hands on. But anyway, so that's how the testing is going. We continue to go well. We're having activities. Like I say, our first cancellation of anything will be the basketball program with Dixie on their test.
And that with most of the coaches.
And
well,
the coaches.
Three yeah. coaches, two girls.
Yeah. So there's quite a few there. But other than that, we're working through things. Things are going well. Continue to work with teachers. We've had a lot of good positive input on the support from teachers. They feel like they're being supported well in their work. They're given every opportunity to help students learn at high levels. And we're just walking that happy balance between teaching kids, which is our duty and responsibility, and being supportive and reasonable with all of our employees, teachers being one of the front runners. But you can't forget from cooks, custodians, secretaries, bus drivers, and everybody else involved. But we've done a lot of surveys and different things that have given us a lot of indicators that they're feeling supported and doing well with what they're doing. So that would be my report, unless there's questions.
One of the representatives had some concerns. Did he ever get a hold of you? The one that I happen to be related to?
No, he did not.
You never did? Yeah, he was getting a bunch of complaints from parents that didn't all sound legitimate.
Yep.
But I asked him,
he's
not.
He's not. I got that correspondence.
This is about the testing for extracurriculars.
Some of that. There was other.
Yeah, because I got several things about that. I've talked to some people about some of my voters, and they once I talked to them, they seemed to understand.
Yeah, because
I think you know, for a lot of them,
it wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
For a lot of them, there's misunderstanding. Anyway, just know that we're doing as good as we can with the balance as best we can, and teaching kids, holding the activities. Doing what we do normally, but there's a lot of caveats in that. Of just trying to do it responsibly with a good balance, teaching kids. You know, one of the big concerns we just on the meeting from yesterday morning, and then followed up with this morning, is from the Utah State Board of Education. Is the concern about literacy at the early levels, K through 3, and the deficiencies. I've talked to Amy, Kathy Hall, Nate Rex about those concerns. And they know that everybody's doing all we can. We're just worried about the gap and the lack of learning that's happening at some of the lower grades because of COVID, because of last spring. Are we catching them up as far as we can? Are we moving them as far as we can, given the dynamics of virtual learning and in-person learning and doing everything as best we can? A lot of it's out of our control. We're working through and addressing these issues as best we can. They're just pledging their resources, even money. We'll see how it comes to fruition. It will influence, very likely, in fact, I'm sure it will, already has to some degree, some of the legislation that will be put forth in this session to support these learning gaps that are being created by COVID, and the support in resources and some legislation that will help. We just hope that it will help and not hinder. Sometimes the legislation's unintended consequences causes issues, but we're working through all of that. It's what we do now. And those high levels of learning being guaranteed with all these exceptions caused by COVID are definitely challenging, but we feel like we're managing them quite well.
So I wanted to give a shout out to Sherry and her report. I don't know how many of you read it, but Fossil Ridge is doing an amazing job at trying to do the balance between the child being home quarantined and their ability to come back to school and stay on task. And I thought it was amazing. And in fact, I told Sherry that I thought every classroom in the county should be doing a similar thing. Anyway, I really appreciated that Fossil Ridge is doing that.
About in-person school, just the latest from the university, they have looked at the results of the semester that's just winding down.
Mm-hmm.
And have issued some very, very interesting instructions and some opportunities. Teachers are now permitted to require in-person attendance, period. And if you don't want to come, take it in a different class. Or they can have medical exceptions, and those would be the only ones that would not be required to come to class. And yes, we're talking about 40 students in a math class, again, that this is now authorized, fully authorized by the provost. Not necessarily, even to the point where class meets at 11, you will watch the Zoom. If you have a medical exemption, you will watch at 11. We will not record for you anymore. They have really authorized a huge tightening up after seeing the results. So imagine the importance in elementaries of in-person schooling. And no wonder there's a learning gap in, you know, K through 3 and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's manifesting itself at the university level to such an extent. Yeah. Okay, I mean, this is a seismic shift to say that we can now require 40 kids in the same classroom.
Yeah.
Social distancing is not possible. Yeah. Masks would be required.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it swung so far after seeing the results statewide that were...
Nancy DeVos, on a national level, what has she come out with all of these cases and everything, you know, the concerns, some states like California totally shutting down, and a lot of places still in the country that are not allowing in-person school. She just said the bottom line is, because of what we are seeing and the deficits that we're anticipating are going to be there, to the expense of a whole generation of kids, is kids need to be in school. There is no substitute for in-person school.
The Salt Lake County School District is still remote, yeah. And they're having some big protests.
It's a big mistake. And it's not that there's concerns, but there's got to be ways that we can manage this. And we're doing the best we can. We're continuing to press forward. But for kids, we've got to do that. We've got to keep working. And it's not that we're doing our best we can with virtual learning and everything else. We are. And I think we're doing literally as well as anybody else in the country is with that. But nothing replaces in-person learning for kids. It's just, it's too critical. So anyway, that's my report.
Thank you. Tamara, I'm going to skip and go to you because you have important stuff. Then Amy, you're going to be our last. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get Tamara's report.
Okay, Marcy's going to start with the
number
here, and I'll
pass you though. Tamara, I'm gonna kind of ask you to go to the microphone. Sorry.
Or Marcy.
Or whoever's speaking, so I can hear you. If you don't mind. Thank you.
Terry,
including us. All right. For our utilization, we finally finished with Regents. I don't know how many of you remember, we had a 15-month run-out with Regents, and we finally finished up with them at the end of October. So those top numbers there are our total amount that we paid out after rebates was $26,892,711 overall for those. It's just basically for 1 year, but with that average monthly, including the admin fees that we pay, made it be about $2.4 million a month is what we averaged with Regents for that year. With BMI right now, paid to date, we're at 35. million, and it's kind of hard to say apples to apples because of the fact that when we were with Regents at this point, all we were getting was runoff, and right now we're getting the runoff plus new claims are coming in, so you can't really compare it that way. But the average monthly, including the admin fees, we're at like $2.3 million for the monthly. So we're actually averaging really well, especially compared to what we budgeted for. With our EMI, as you know, we have the Wellvia, the telehealth, and we're seeing that here at Washington School District, we're actually utilizing it more than the rest of the population at EMI as far as their other clients, which is a good thing because it saves us money. I mean, it's good for the employees to be able to use that benefit,
and then it saves the district money overall. It shows that we've saved about $152,000 with those visits from Telemed. They say that their average wait time is just over 14 minutes. I've used it once, I think. Have you used it a few more times? I mean, I think people have a good, you know, they've had a good experience with it. You call in, you give them your information. You know, they're really good at calling you, texting you, letting you know when that doctor's going to call you back so you can kind of plan for that too. You know, if it's going to be an hour or whatnot. So that's been a great thing. As you can see also, we 60% of the time, you know, there's been a prescription with that visit too. So. Any questions, like on the utilization or anything?
That seems like a lot, but, you know, I mean, so the 26.8, that's from January 1st to today, or whenever this, is that right?
The which one?
That utilization.
On the Regents?
No, the EMI, the 35.2.
So that's from August 1st of 2019 to right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's 14 months, 15 months in that area. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I say, it's hard to compare. You can't say, well, where were we with Regents at this point, because we only had the full year of utilization, and that was just runoff, you know. And now we're getting new claims also, since we're still with the EMI. But our average monthly is still a little bit less than where we ended up after all the runoff with.
Kind of in a good spot.
Yeah, that was good. That's good news.
You'd like it less, but it's in a good spot.
Okay, was there anything else? Or
Yeah,
go ahead, Tamara.
Okay, so I am also reporting on the pharmacy carve-out. We had SmithRx present to the insurance committee, and they are a concierge service that approaches savings on pharmacy meds for specialty. And they use income-based pharmaceutical rebates. And they found out that we have about 69 of our employees that would need these specialty medications, and they would work with them through formulary management, copay assistance, international list price, and grant foundation funds at a service fee of $6 per claim. With a projected savings of possibly $2 million if we went with them. But there would also be a lot of issues with moving to have that where our employees will see some of the service, as well as they can only project that they'd save us $2 million. So there'd be disruption of service, and that projection is just merely a projection there. They weren't able to offer us any side-by-side comparisons on our generics versus the cost of what we pay with EMI versus what they have, and so that is something that we need to look at as well. EMI has also offered us a guaranteed savings, and theirs is guaranteed because we've already been using the Save-On program, and they see our utilization of $1.5 million if we use their Save-On program, which we currently have with the traditional plan, and also offer it with the high-deductible health plan for the next benefit year. So we will have EMI present to us their pharmacy program in the insurance committee while we're going through our renewals, and then we can report back as far as the insurance committee's recommendations on whether to go with SmithRx or with EMI in the Save-On program.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
No, I like the comparison with the SmithRx and EMI's mm-hmm. comparison of that. I mean, there's multiple players in that.
There is, and we really need to be considerate of disrupting our employees with all of the disruption we've had this year. Minimizing that kind of a problem or a pain for them right now, I feel like, is extremely important. You know, for what could be projected savings versus what we can actually have in guaranteed savings, I think we need to look at that as well.
Will it cost us a lot more, Cameron, to add that to the high deductible plan on the Save-On program? Because we currently have it with the traditional. Will it cost us?
It should save us $1.5
million
to add that with the high deductible plan as well. And this will be the first year that EMI has been able to offer that program for the high deductible. So we'll have them present to us and make a decision then. On Fitbit, the wellness program, we did get an RFP or the renewal rates back from Fitbit. Just as a reminder, this last 2 years we paid $25,200 for the corporate program each year. If we go with their expanded program next year that included the premium, which we're getting for free this year, the total cost would be $39,200 for each contract year. And then we would also like to do the $50 stipend for renewals on those who've had a Fitbit for 2 years, so they could do that renewal stipend again. So those are some things that
they could get a new device.
Yeah, it would give you $50 towards a new device
if you've had
it for 2 years. So we're looking at that also with the insurance committee. We didn't have enough time to go over that last week, but just so you know, the anticipated cost there, it's right there written. And then the on-site clinics, tennis, and care here merged together this last year, and we need to arrange a time that they can come and present to the board their proposal for our school district.
Could we get that in January?
Okay.
We're ready to hear that.
Okay.
Hey, on the Fitbit, so is there a way to quantify the benefit of that? I mean, do you have anything that you can share that...
As far as the survey we took?
No, the bottom line is, is it helping the district with utilization, with more help? I know how I feel, but I'd be interested if you can quantify that expense. I mean, for those of us that have had one, I'm watching my steps. It wasn't until my Fitbit broke, but, you know, I mean, is what have you got anything that you've noticed?
So we do this every year, do an analysis of, like, the amount of time off versus the steps that people do, and GPS runs a report for us, so we can look at that. We can do that, but I did do the survey in March, and it's generally well accepted by all those that took the survey when I sent that out in March, including the challenges that we do, the renewal for the Fitbit that we are giving them as well. So as far as satisfaction, most of our employees are satisfied with it. We have employees that are on alternative plans if they can't step and can't do that type of program, that they are on an alternative where they're either having disease management as their goal, financial wellness, you know, we have different options for them that way. So I'm not sure as far as, like, can I tell you that it saved us this much on utilization and in our insurance? I can't do that.
Yeah, and I think participation and, you know, well-being and, you know, contentment from the employees and how many renew, I think there's some things that demonstrate that they're interested in.
That's the results we have from the survey. Sure. And again, we'll be talking with the insurance committee about that when we talk on in our next meeting in January before we present here.
Great.
Okay.
Any questions for Tamara? Okay, thank you very much.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, Amy, let's do Title One real quick.
So, Tamara, I'm sorry, just a quick question.
We
just had said a timeline on here. I just didn't know if you were going to share any kind of timeline with us and where we're at.
So, I gave everyone the timeline last month. And
what
has changed? We will be... on the 27th of January, the insurance committee meets and gets the renewal rates for the 2021-2022 year. And we will present on the February 9th meeting a discussion for, you know, the insurance committee's recommendations to see if that's supported by the board. Then we meet on, the insurance committee meets on February 10th. And our agenda items on that is open enrollment, recommendations from the board on our plan design, funding, budget limitations. And then when we meet on the February 22nd board meeting, we can give you our information to make recommendations as far as an action item there. What changed?
It hasn't changed, it's the same.
No, it hasn't changed.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yep, thank you.
Thanks.
That February 22nd is President's Day, so we may not have
to. Okay, if you can just, this is in your folders. Paige, put this low income report in your folders. Okay. It's more just a reference. I don't really need to explain it, but it just shows you which schools will qualify for Title I next year. I made reference to this last year in my board report. It's the same 11 schools that we have in Title I this year. We followed pretty much the same pattern as we did last year. But on the back is last year's low-income report, so that you can compare the two if you have any questions. Where the red line is where we proposed, you know, cutting off the Title I funding. You can see, again, it's those schools that fall below 50. So the 11th elementary school that would qualify for Title I would be Panorama at 62.53% low-income. And then we have the same four schools that were cut last year, Springdale, Hurricane, Coal Canyon, and Enterprise, that are all between 52 and 54%. So the pattern that we had been looking at over the previous several years holds true again this year. So basically what I'm saying is the plan is just to stay as we are. And I've spoken to both Matthew Lowe and Anthony from Coral Canyon and Hurricane, and they're aware, and there were no surprises. We've all been tracking it to see how it would turn out. So, do you have any questions for me?
That's a big gap, isn't it? I mean,
that's,
you have
a nice
to draw
natural
line.
Break there. Yeah.
You got an 8% gap. That's
mm-hmm.
pretty big.
Yeah. There's some shuffling in the order, but it's the same schools, so that made it a little bit.
It hasn't changed from the.
The
disappointment is some schools would love to be in there. The benefit or the good part of it is nobody has to shift big in losing jobs or different positions or resources they were used to.
And well, especially Coral Canyon. Anthony and I are watching the new apartment complexes. He said a lot of them are college kids that are moving in and not as many low-income families as he anticipated. So we don't know if they will come back into Title I in the next few years. We're just going to watch that and work together. So that's it.
Okay. Any questions for Amy, Mark? Okay, thank you. Okay, 20 seconds each. Healthy Dixie, Craig?
They still meet when I teach, but that should change in January, hopefully.
Okay, Becky, USBA?
We have our board meeting this week, and then they're just preparing for the annual conference in January, so I'll give you more details after our meeting on Friday.
Yeah, well, I want to maybe do something with the board on that.
Okay.
Since we're not going up north, you know, we can maybe...
Good job on the NBA, though. That's yours.
Oh, my goodness.
Never mind. Take that back.
Oh, my thunder.
Rewind.
You just got a stall or thunder.
It's part of USBA.
Oh.
Wait, I didn't hear you. Laura, what NBA?
Oh. I saw Laura had something over there.
Yay to everybody.
Good job again.
Way to go, Bart. You totally rock. Oh, did you have anything else, Becky? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Tech, Terry, you got anything?
Terry,
come on. I got to have you. I support it. Let's go. Dixie Tech.
We had another board meeting. Talked about some of the building projects that we've got going on, but nothing major. And we're still just doing education with mass and in-person learning for them.
Okay, thank you. Foundation is now meeting quarterly. Isn't that right, Steve? We meet quarterly, so we haven't. We met in November. We did not meet in. Is there anything you have on the foundation?
Moving forward with foundation grants, we received about 740. There are a handful of teachers that we've asked to provide additional information, and we're just getting responses back so we can get those grants out to the grant committee for their approval.
Okay. We'll be able to award most qualified grants, won't we?
We're anticipating something like that, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Five County, Lorraine?
Nothing new. They're just allotting their last of their COVID money. And it's mostly going to go to the senior center, I think, generators, things like that. I asked for some of it for us, but we got it in other places, so that's awesome.
Great, thank you. Kelly, you got anything on it?
Nope, we're going to meet LO after the first year. So.
I see this document. Is that in our handout?
What's that?
Yeah. That auditor from the fraud risk? I don't know if that's what we're talking about.
That's us.
So,
okay.
It's letter G on our action
okay.
items.
All right.
Let's just say that over.
Okay. I don't think there's anything else on the board review. Anything? Any grammar requests or department? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll take about a minute and we'll start. We'll go to the open meeting. So if you want to stretch your legs, we'll start in just a moment. What time is it?
4:33.
We'll start. Give us 2 minutes.
This online training is from.